Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Innovate Now podcast. I'm your host, Ben Lind, as always, and I'm joined with Richard Smith from the BBC Digital Partners team. Richard, thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you. Very well. Quick one, just to let you guys know, we've grabbed Richard. This is literally behind the scenes at the end of Innovate Now 7. We've grabbed Richard, and he's going to be telling us more about how to get involved with the BBC. But before we get into it, guys, let me just tell you that the content, as always, the slides, the recordings, the audio files from the talks that we had today are going to be made available, as well as some questionnaires. So make sure that you keep an eye out on your email inboxes. Please follow us on Twitter at InnovateNowTech or get us on the website InnovateNow.tech. We love having you guys at things like this. And honestly, it's just a pleasure to be able to put them on as and when we can. So Richard, we're going to jump into it now.
Good stuff.
So I suppose the first question to ask people who don't know, do you want to just fill us in on sort of who you are and what you do for the BBC?
Sure. So I work for a BBC division called Design and Engineering. Basically, it does what it says in the tin. Mm-hmm. We are the creative and the technology partners to the rest of BBC. So we work with content teams in areas such as news, mm-hmm. sport, radio, music, children's, education, to help us actually kind of bring their projects to life. More particularly within design and engineering, I work for a team called Distribution Business Development. Mm-hmm. So I have colleagues who actually spend their days flying in helicopters around sort of tall radio masts and measuring signal strength and all sorts of proper job stuff like that. Other colleagues who own our relationships with the connected device manufacturers. So if you're making a connected TV, Samsung, Sony, LG, mm-hmm. or a Fire Stick or whatever, you need to work with us because we're quite protective about how experiences like the iPlayer mm-hmm. are presented on this third-party platform.
Yeah.
So it's quite a kind of contractual relationship there. Still, other colleagues own our relationships with the Google, Apple, Facebook, Amazon, mm-hmm. and that's really interesting because as well as sort of potential competitors for eyeballs, they also help syndicate and distribute a lot of our content. So a lot of sort of multi-layered relationships, and that's kind of really healthy discussion. In my particular area, I work with a lot of teams who want to develop digital ideas that may, for example, be off the product roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a very kind of product approach to software design delivery, but there's still ideas and issues that come up which need to be delivered. And to make those happen, we often look to the external market. So we try to work with the UK's digital agency sector, creative technology companies, creative software houses, to bring those projects to market. We also want to present the BBC as a more open organisation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important for the BBC to get out here and to sort of be part of the ecosystem of mm-hmm. new ideas and innovations going on. And would like our team to be seen as a point of contact for people who want to work with the BBC, who want to get in touch, and we can help either directly or signpost them in the right direction if we can.
Excellent. And do you tend to spend a lot of time in the Northeast?
Not as much as we should, I think, quite frankly. I think we are pretty strong now in places like Manchester, Salford, the MCUK has been a big success for us, I think. But I don't think we've done enough up here, and I'm really keen to spend more time here, kind of getting in touch with what's going on.
Well, I'm certainly very pleased that events such as Innovate Now can bring you up, give you an excuse.
It's been eye-opening to be here already.
So what were some of the main reasons ahead of coming to the event today?
Really, I think it was to fly the flag for what we're doing in terms of being a point of contact, to make sure people know the BBC is open and contactable. But also, I think because we're really interested in the theme of the day, the idea of tech for good
mm-hmm.
Is really resonant, and we have a lot of live internal discussions and activity along related themes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be, I think, a really interesting space, a really interesting conversation to be involved in.
Absolutely. I mean, for my money, so often the temptation is to let yourself get focused on the negativity surrounding the tech space, or indeed a lot of the cynicism around
yeah.
it. I think that for a lot of people who don't follow it as closely as you or I might, it's kind of seen as a bit of a members club, in the sense that you can see
yeah.
people's eyes glazing over when you talk about things like AI and blockchain
yeah.
or whatever. Whereas when you focus on what the actual tangible benefits are of some of the technology, it's
yeah.
a lot easier to get on board with.
Yeah, I think so. Some of the examples you've had here today, some brilliant speakers from Signal and the surgeon talking about the future of robo tech surgery, quite eye opening. And I do think these are really clear indicators of how technology can improve people's lives directly. And we do have a lot of concerns around the ethics and morality of a lot of stuff. The whole sort of gamification mm-hmm. of behavior and things, I think it's really become a big issue. The sort of morals and ethics of some of the stuff is really important. Mm-hmm. Also, diversity. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a really strong sort of mantra at work. You know, that a strong team is a diverse team, or a diverse team is a strong team.
I completely agree.
And we can't kind of get enough of that. So all of that are kind of reasons for getting up and about and being here.
Excellent. I think that's absolutely spot on. I mean, in terms of so coming up here to look for you know, potential talent, potential solutions to challenges, shall we say, or new opportunities. Yeah. What are some different ways that the BBC would put opportunities such as this out to the market?
So very broadly speaking, and mm-hmm. this is kind of my almost simplistic view of the world, we have a discussion about whether a project is related to content or whether it's more led by technology.
Okay.
The real issue is that the legal and regulatory landscape that we work in as a publicly funded organisation hasn't really kept pace with the idea of digital as a thing. So the rules and regulations, they understand, they recognise what content is, you can also probably say what a piece of content is, mm-hmm. understands more or less what technology is, but in digital, which I feel strongly is an inherently hybrid medium, where do you draw the line? So a game in HTML5, is that a piece of content? Is that a piece of technology? A VR experience, is that content or tech? Where, you know, where do you draw the line and how? And are there any kind of broad brushstrokes you can use to help make those decisions? Mm-hmm. Very often we look at it on a case-by-case basis, and it's sometimes, it depends. You know, it's always the best answer we can get to.
So we talked about, I suppose you could refer to it as sort of like a grey area, this contrasting area between...
Yeah, and one of the things that we do is we help people navigate through that to mm-hmm. make a decision, because often the answer is not apparently obvious at the outset of a project. It kind of emerges during some of the initial discussions. Mm-hmm. And we have various other routes to market that come to fore that we can talk about a bit more.
Absolutely. Do you have a sort of, just before we do, do you have a couple of examples of the type of projects that might fall into this grey area? I mean, we've mentioned VR and HTML5.
Sure. I mean, I suppose so. HTML5 games is a really good example.
Yeah.
You might particularly want to commission that according to whether it relates to a TV series, program, or brand. Mm-hmm. In which case it's probably easy to decide there is a piece of content. Mm-hmm. But if we're doing something which is more interactive, where it's less clear who is bringing the creative contribution,
yep.
and whether it's a piece of technology that's being spun up particularly for this project, mm-hmm. then we probably go down the technology route. Where we sort of run into the really kind of nitty-gritty stuff mm-hmm. is particularly on the technology side of things.
Right.
So if it's a content-led program, a content-led piece of work that we're commissioning, we can usually or often go direct to a single buyer. So somebody, we can tap them up and say, we think you're the best person to do this piece of content-led work because you have the idea, you are kind of the people who have created the story or defined the experience. Where it's a piece of technology, we have to look at the overall value of that piece of work. And there are a set of criteria that we work to depending on the value of the project. Looking at, and this is quite an important point, looking at the lifetime value of the contract. Mm-hmm. So somebody might come to us and say, well, we've got £20,000 to spend. We want this project. And by the way, it might run for 3 years. In actual fact, then that's 20 times 3, 60,000. If it was just 20,000, you can go down one procurement route. Mm-hmm. If it's £60,000 for the project, for the lifetime value, you'd have to go down another route.
Okay.
And we guide you through that decision-making process.
So in terms of these routes then, I mean, my experience sort of through various commercial pursuits in a previous mm-hmm. life mm-hmm. has been sort of a framework, the digital services
yeah.
framework.
Yeah.
Is that the primary route for people to engage with the BBC?
That's the main one for most of the technology projects that I work with. So maybe it's helpful to kind of specify what we don't do
yeah, absolutely.
As well as what we do. So we focus on bespoke, usually audience-facing, technology-led projects. We wouldn't support people wanting to do something based on a SaaS, a software as a service,
mm-hmm.
or something license-based or commodity-based.
Mm-hmm.
Each of our projects are unique and different and bespoke. So the kind of rules of thumb that come in there, roughly around the project value is 20,000, we can go direct to a single supplier. Between 30,000 and 50,000, we run usually what's called a mini competition between a handful of suppliers, and then for anything over that, 50k and up, we go go to the digital services framework you referred to, which at the moment is a selection of companies, I think about 315 agencies on that list, and they then decide if they want to compete for each project as it arises.
Okay, so that each opportunity would just be published, and then it's up to the individual incumbent to decide.
Yeah, rather than try and match companies at the outset, it's better for companies themselves to choose whether or not they want to do it based on their capabilities or even their current capacity.
Yeah.
Because, you know, agencies, everybody's busy, people get maxed out.
Absolutely.
You don't want to end up kind of competing internally for how you get the work done, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And so in terms of, if you were looking to be, if you say you were a new agency and you weren't familiar with how to like find out about this sort of work coming up and then subsequently bid for it, could you just clue us in a little bit on how a new company might go about doing that?
Absolutely. The best thing to do is to register for our portal, our procurement portal, the lovely name Bravo Solutions.
Bravo Solutions.
Bravo Solutions. And I think we'll probably give out the addresses as we've sent this out. It's www.bbc.bravosolution.co.uk, but we'll put that in big letters for people if you email this.
Anyone listening, just let you know, like, we're definitely going to we'll hook you up with the right details for this. Actually, there's some accompanying slides as well, which we may send to you if we can get them past BBC PR guidelines.
we'll try. So once you're registered on Bravo, and that's a process that only takes about 2 minutes.
Okay.
It's really simple. Then you should receive from us automatic email notification every time there's an open opportunity, and that also lets us contact you to hopefully sort of opt into some further email comms.
Mm-hmm.
We do a regular monthly agency for newsletters now. We're very keen to sign up new agencies for that. But really, the kind of key first step is to get yourself registered on Bravo.
And so, what are you looking for in an agency? What does an ideal agency look like to you?
There's no such thing as like an ideal. There are ideal solutions to projects,
but
each agency is different and special and unique to themselves. But we do have a couple of things in mind that I think mark out successful projects from projects that don't go so well.
Okay.
And one of the big things we look for, obviously, is creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't have the monopoly on all the good ideas. Nobody does. This is why I find it really exciting and energizing to work with the indie sector, because we're really open and want to see people's new approaches, new kind of creativity. So that's the first thing we look for, is kind of creativity in an agency, which can manifest in many different ways.
Absolutely.
Second thing is the kind of quality.
Yes.
Particularly when it comes to the execution, because we are really fussy. And we will go, because I think, you know, we sort of have again, by virtue of less commercial pressure, we will often go the extra 20% to kind of perfect the experience or make it as good as we possibly can. So we will obsess about detail and get really kind of driven by creating the most kind of polished experience possible.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, it's tenacity. You know, we are a big, ugly, difficult organisation to deal with. You know, it can be hard to work with. We try to make it easy. You know, and people just have to have the grit and determination to stick with it.
Yeah.
We'd always encourage people, you know, ask us questions, seek clarification, push back if you want to. You know, don't, you know, I think people often feel it's difficult, little agency, big BBC, to come.
Well, yes.
But no, I think it's healthier to kind of raise the concerns, you know, challenge thinking. And I'd much rather see people working in that way than kind of feeling under the cosh to deliver something which they don't really believe in.
Because I suppose part of you going out to people as in this tender process is in your own way signalling that you don't have all the answers, and therefore like people can like take that spirit and come back to you and say, like, actually you've said it might be this way, we envisage it more this way, how do you feel about that? That it could be that their way is...
Completely. And you know, there are examples internally where even working out what we want is a long drawn out process. There's one project which we worked on recently, which took 23 iterations of the brief before we felt it was ready to publish.
Yeah.
And that's from the initial idea of somebody who wanted to do something for school children around the issue of fake news.
Right.
To ending up with a really quite cool gamified production where you play the role as an intern to BBC News, creating your first news story.
Really? That sounds mint.
And the various challenges that you face during the course of the day to get that story done. And it is quite... compelling, and it's quite a moving thing to experience to do it.
Is that like a sort of choose your own ending kind of thing, like a what would you do next type thing?
What would you do next?
Yeah.
And the various options, and you're faced with the consequences. Well, it's more fun to get it wrong again.
I bet it is.
See what happens. But that's a good one. And again, that felt, you know, initially people thought there was a piece of content. We ended up commissioning it as a technology project, which mm-hmm. was then won by Artman Studios, in fact. Mm-hmm. Really good delivery there.
Those are the guys behind Wallace and Gromit,
Yeah. So this particular project is My Reporter, part of the annual School Report campaign. Okay. We've seen these ones. It's worth checking out if anybody's interested in them. Yeah. Maybe include the link again.
Yeah, spot on, that sounds good. And so you've said one of your top tips towards winning work with the BBC is to be tenacious.
Yeah.
What other top tips would you say play a part?
Oh, I think once you've won the work, well, winning the work, this is really obvious and people think, we don't need to be told this, but read the brief.
Yes.
Read the brief and read it again. And, you know, again, coming back to that point about seeking clarification,
mm-hmm.
make sure that you challenge anything you don't understand or where it's not obvious. Also make sure that you follow the instructions to the letter. And if we're looking for, if it seems repetitive, if we're asking for information several times, it's because we need it for whatever reason. Don't assume anything, even if you've worked with us before. If you have done 100 projects for us before, then that prior experience doesn't count. Each project is judged on its own merit. So you have to tell us your whole creds and everything each time. It's a bit boring,
mm-hmm.
but the reason behind it, let's keep it fair, transparent, so the decision-making process is accountable. It's, you know, it's necessary, and we try and make it as lightweight as we can. Make sure you understand how the scoring works, because in a lot of projects we might put weighting on one factor over another.
Yep.
So for some projects the visuals might be more important, or for other projects we might put some weighting on the project management.
Mm-hmm.
Cost is obviously an issue, but we don't always go for the cheapest
mm-hmm.
bid. We go for the solution that we believe is going to give us the right outcome.
Fantastic. And so once a successful entity has won work with the BBC, what advice could they follow that will give them the smoothest process through to the end of the work?
Again, we already talked about quite a lot about the clarification process, asking questions. My big tip is that often, you know, very few projects actually go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When they do, the first place that we usually look is around the project management, particularly technical project management.
Okay.
Very often, good projects go bad because of some kind of failure of the TPM on one side, sometimes on the mm-hmm. agency side. You know, but that's where I would start looking to see what's happened there and work what we do from there to resolve it.
How close is the collaboration between the BBC and the successful organisation once the contract's been, once the work's been won? Are you quite hands-on, or do you leave people to their own devices and then just check in once the deadlines are there?
It can really vary again, because each project is bespoke and unique.
Mm-hmm.
Often we find people end up being quite co-located, where that suits both sides. And other times we just can have the confidence to sit back and wait for the deliveries and make sure that there are kind of milestones in place that we can measure progress against.
Fantastic. Well, I think that was a pretty comprehensive run through, to be fair. Richard, is there any final comments or advice that you care to leave us with?
No, I mean, if you're interested, do sign up for Bravo, get in touch. Mm-hmm. We can add you to, love to add people to our agency newsletter.
Yep.
And come and talk to us. We're always open to have a chat and come and see us, have a coffee, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's always good to get to know new people.
Absolutely. Well, we'll not do emails, obviously. I'm sure you'd be inundated. But if people want to hear, are you on social media? If people want to get in touch with you, can they reach you on LinkedIn or Twitter or anything?
The email by Bravo, Registry for Bravo, is the best place at the moment.
Absolutely. Okay, perfect. Well, Richard, I appreciate you coming up to Newcastle and spending time with us today. And it's been a great and informative podcast. Thank you very much for your time.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Perfect. All right, guys, that's it from me and Richard up here. We're just finished backstage at Innovate Now 7. It's been a fantastic event. As always, any more information on Twitter, it's at Innovate Now Tech. The website is innovatenow.tech. We will be sharing some details for the BBC. There will be a questionnaire coming to you in your emails to ask you how you felt, what you liked, what you didn't like. It's your feedback that makes us get better at this, so please don't think that it doesn't make a difference. And we'll just leave you with the hashtags to follow up. If you want to see what the activities out of this week have been, hashtag DigiCities on Twitter, as well as hashtag TechForGood. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak to you soon.